a 24-month contract.
There's a long time between now and then.
No targets.
I think that's a great measure of success.
Massive change.
There's just a few minor adjustments.
Reviewing performance.
We'll talk about it again if you ask me the question.
Welcome to the Burgess Effect.
We're giving ourselves sort of 10 games to sort of see where we sit.
I'm Rob Lunt, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with British summertime about to kick in and play havoc with our global podcast recordings, where are my two Greenwich coordinately based Meridian aligned podcasters? Firstly, a man who has been known to pause longer than it takes to cross an international time zone. Yes, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, stop all the clocks and dismantle the sun, because nothing can come to any good with his tackle bags. Yes, once again, it's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
It's cold here this morning, boys. Down to 20 degrees. Only a top of 28 today. Don't you hate autumn when it really kicks in like that?
I like autumn. You know, we mentioned about the sun, me dismantling the sun. We're in the peak of the solar activity of the sun at the moment, and we had an X-class flare last week. So, got to put that
out
there.
Has this got anything to do with your walks?
Yeah, I'm always out and, you know, absorbing the sun rays, I suppose. But
what are you trying to find? What are those big rocks you keep walking towards?
Trigonometry points. Do we want to do a section? Let me just make this round. We'll do a section on trig points.
Why did I mention that, Sam?
Yeah, just this week, let's be all positive, we are top of the league.
Yeah, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Sam's looking well. Do you think that's had some kind of Burgess effect? How are you, Sam? You all good?
I'm really good. I bumped into, well, not quite, bumped into the man himself on Sunday morning.
Oh.
He looks like he can still play. Blimey.
Where was it, Sam? Where were you?
I was walking up to Lim to get myself a coffee, do a bit of exercise. I'm not up to the running yet. It was 7:30 and he was going into the co-op.
Right. What was he buying? Did you see what he had in his shopping basket? We should say this is Sam Burgess you're talking about, isn't it?
This is Sam Burgess.
Not your mother-in-law. Yeah, okay. Right.
Not my mother-in-law.
He was going in, so you hung around the bins and waited for him to come out, did you?
Well, no, I didn't, because he looked a bit strong and still fast and handy. So I thought, if he catches me spying on him round the back of the bins, I'm for it.
You know, when you came out to see me a few weeks ago, was it a similar physique when you saw him compared to me? Was that kind of the? Did you get
probably
that speed?
To be fair, probably a similar weight, and he is about 6 inches taller than you.
Okay, well, let's move on to London, shall we? First game. Down in the capital. The team was Dufty, Thulis, King, Wrench, Ashton, Ratchford at six, Hayes, and the front row was Harrison, Powell, Vaughan, Holroyd, Philbin in the second row, and Crowther at 13. Interchange bench was Musgrove, Bullock, Whitehead came in, and Young, Prop, Wood. Missing the match was Lachlan Fitzgibbon, having flown back to Australia due to a family bereavement. George Williams' ankle was playing up again, plus Walker and Curry were awaiting the arrival of their newborn children. Well, could Warrington elevate their league position in the capital by dotting the I's and crossing the T's? Here's the highlights.
With Vaughan trying to power his way over, gets an offload away, it's going to be back to zero, and there's a chance here, they're over the line. Ball now working its way across to Ratchford, here's Dufty, trouble incoming, get the pass away, and they're over in the corner. So they're a man down, and here they go through the gap. Ball back on the inside, and he's there again. Like London buses, two coming at the same time. Maloudi's got the man outside him. He's going to go in alone, and Maloudi scores. Takes me higher than Here's Maloudi again, feints a kick, in and out, then he does kick, goes to ground, wasn't taken down illegally, Dufty danger, Dufty's away, they're not going to catch Matt Dufty, he is racing. Crowther finds Ratchford, who finds Dufty, quick hands and they're away and they're over, dream start to the second half. Less one, they're going short, and they're going to power through and score. They're going down that short side with Hayes, gets the ball away, quick hands, and they could be in again, they are in again. And it's going to be a hat-trick for Jos Zulis. Here now is Hayes, little stab kick, it bounces off, it'll bounce for Harrison, and it's a gift for the big man! Right-hand side again, Ratchford back inside for Dufty, and that's the hat-trick! Ratchford thought about the big pass, well he might have missed out on the world record, but he helps himself to a try. Ratchford is over.
Final score, London 4, Warrington 58. Wyre scored 94% of the points. Is that another win for Dennis?
No.
Oh,
it wasn't a win for Dennis this week.
Who won this week? Who was it? You, Sam? Was it? Did you get the win? Oh, you went higher than him, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that's what it is. I didn't go high enough, did I? Well, it wouldn't have mattered anyway because you both boxed me in there. But was anybody expecting this? As you know, I did say London weren't very good.
Well, I was expecting it, Dennis, because I hang off every word that you say, and you said they weren't up to Super League standard. I haven't written down a timeline to this one. I just thought we'd run with the narrative of kind of how the game went, which seemed to be, Sam, Warrington on the front foot, doing things pretty competently from first minute to the 80th minute, and London on the back foot, struggling to make any post-contact metres, if anything, being driven back.
And I think it was evident, particularly in that first quarter, that first 20 minutes... I agree, Dennis, London aren't that good, and I agree we expected to win, but we were really on our game for that first 15 to 20 minutes, you know, a little bit elevated, and actually played some lovely rugby before going slightly off the boil in the second 20 minutes when we were trying to do things a bit easy. You know, and throw it around because we knew the game was won.
What constitutes lovely rugby for you? How would you describe that? What does that consist of?
Well, I suppose putting a little bit of width on the ball, but width with structure, not just throwing a wild pass as far as you can. We had support runners, we had angles, occasionally people coming back on the inside, and it was done at pace relative to the London defence, at least. Whether it was quick enough to beat a Wigan defence in a big match is another matter.
He did really well there, Rob, don't you think? I thought that was absolutely
you put him on the back foot a bit like London, but he came forward with the ball quite like what he did there.
That's very good.
Quite like what, yeah. What's Champagne Rugby League, Dennis?
Basically, that is where you each of the players are encouraged to just say "fuck it" and just fucking do what they want, because it's like champagne coming out of a bottle. Fuck it, you know, like when they win a, like, you know, Formula One sort of thing.
I thought you weren't going to swear during this Well, that was in context, was it? That wasn't. That was fine.
Oh no, yeah, you've been cutting them out, haven't you? You've been spending an hour cutting them all out. So yeah.
That's all I do now. That's all I do.
What are you taking out of this game? I mean, did you watch it first?
Did you watch it off the back of me? Did you parasitically leap onto my KO Sports?
Turn your telly off, didn't I? Yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah, can't remember that. Yeah. No, I think that was my issue because I had it on two screens. So you're all right. Okay. You can breathe again. You'll be fine.
Okay.
We were just on top right from the start, but I did like the fact that we didn't go away. We didn't throw the ball around too much. You know, in games like that sometimes, you get 20 points up and then you'd really start forcing the football. But I thought to a large extent, we didn't do that. We kept structured. It was good to see. Still, if you're going to put a little red flag in there, that right edge, again, looked a bit weak. They just walked in for one try. I don't know what was going on when they scored their try. And on another occasion, they again were getting us down our right edge, but then they put a kick through and Dufty picked it up and went the length, didn't he? But that also could have gone the other way a little bit. We were certainly on the back foot there. But Sam Burgess told BBC Radio Merseyside, he kind of agrees exactly with what Sam said. I think we did the basics really well, especially early in the game. The first 10-15 minutes were really clinical and then we just got into a good rhythm. I was happy with the team, the amount of players we had missing in really key positions, everyone came to their job. We got some players that can find space, and I thought we took all our chances. And it showed in the post-contact meters, Sam, 786 for Warrington, just 499 for London, and tackle bus, just 9 for London, a staggering 56 for Wyre. It's not really Super League standard, is it, that, when you're so dominant? I mean, how shit a Hull?
I think what we've got to remember about London, the players, I suppose, is that last year, most of them were part-time and they won the competition, the championship competition, from nowhere, really. They were fifth, not fancied to win it, and put three games together. So you could argue that across the course of the season, this was the fifth best team in the championship last year, and it is showing a little bit.
Okay. Did you go, Sam? You were down in London, weren't you?
Yes, I was down in London. Had a lovely weekend.
Right. Yeah. How was the sustenance?
Well, actually, I'm glad you've said that. I wanted to bring this to the fore. Are we talking sustenance specifically at the game or over the weekend?
Well, do both, Sam. Tell us your whole weekend, if you like. We can start from when you left the front door. How did you get down there?
Oh, drove. I drove. Right. Went to Guildford because my son lives there. So
did you travel lightly? Small case, big case? Just lay things out on the back seats?
Yeah, small case. A carry-on bag from when I fly.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. So you got down to Guildford. You hung out with your boy for a bit. Dinner in Guildford. You sent me a nice picture of a group of you all having dinner. Looked very
good. That's right. Just outside in the Surrey Hills, a place called the Onslow Arms. I had very, very nice crayfish and crab tagliatelle. So very nice. And I was driving, so there was no wine. Just a bit of sparkling water.
And then this was on the Friday. So this was, we played on the Sunday, did we?
This was Saturday.
Saturday. Right. And then how did you get to, is it Wimbledon, the plane now?
Wimbledon. Well, just a minute. We had a bit of a breakfast in the Gomshall Mill public house. That was very nice. Nice brioche toast. But yes, we got the train.
Don't worry, Dennis. I'll cut most of this. Carry on.
Got the train to Wimbledon and genuinely now, a very nice, small, about 9,000 capacity, a very nicely appointed new stadium. And what I genuinely would like to point out is perhaps some of our northern rugby grounds could learn this. They had some pies, they had some crisp, and they had some chocolate. But they also had empanadas, a wood-fired pizza van, some
it's the best stats he's ever done. This best stats he's
fresh
ever
coffee
done.
And quaffle.
I lost him at 9,000 because I thought he was going to say 9,000 calories, and since then I've just been chuckling away to myself thinking 9,000
Asian
calories,
wraps.
Yeah.
Duck wraps.
He lost me when he didn't pluralize crisps. He just said crisp. Mm. He's going to say doing the math next, isn't he?
But actually, it was. We had a lovely day out, pleasant weather, good win.
What was the score, Sam?
Saw a world record equaled. Would anybody like to mention that?
Can he do it? That's the angle he's got. The Warrington fans behind the posts. Stefan Ratchford.
Tamakon.
This one. Oh, he's missed it. He's pulled it wide. Can you believe it? Terry O'Connor's jinxed him. And Ratchford joins Finn, Ellis and Martin on 41. He cannot believe it.
I told you it was too easy for him. He's been nailing him from the sideline. He's been knocking him over from everywhere. And he scuffs it as soon as he kicks it. He knows that he sliced it.
Oh, what a shame, eh? What a shame. Reminded me of Dennis on the first tee at Lynn when he sliced one into the car park. Under pressure, just couldn't cope. Ratchford did break the Super League record with 39 successful consecutive attempts. He then added two more to set the new record at 41, but missed his 42nd kick, which would have broken the world record. He therefore joins Rhys Martin, Liam Finn and Jamie Ellis as a joint world record holder. I mean, he's banged a load over from the sidelines, Sam, hasn't he? He really has.
He did. I've got some numbers to follow this up in a moment, but he was kicking beautifully. He had four, I think, from more or less a touchline. Mm. And as he kept popping each one over, we were counting them down, and each time one was out wide, said he'll probably miss it this time. And then, of course, came to the record, and Adam, who was with me, said, do you think he knows this is for the record? I said, he'll know. He'll know this is for the record. Yeah. And subsequently snatched at it compared to all the others he'd been kicking with such lovely ease and rhythm. So... great shame.
I just wanted the commentator to say, oh, the poor lad. Oh, the poor lad's missed it. In fact, I bet you could actually cut that over the kick.
Yes, yes. Do the Derek Fox. When Eddie Waring did the Derek Fox kick. We could put that over the top. Mm. Couldn't write that down. Sam, could you have that ready by lunchtime tomorrow, please?
Can he do it? That's the angle he's got. The Warrington fans behind the posts.
He's missed it! He's missed it! It's on the ground! He's missed it! What a dramatic! Everybody's got their head in their hand, and he's sure in tears. He's in tears. He's a poor lad.
He's been knocking him over from everywhere, and he scuffs it. As soon as he kicks it, he knows that he sliced it.
So, I have got some numbers, though. Just briefly, just to show that even Ratchford, at the age of 74, is getting better with age. Because I looked back when he became the Warrington regular kicker, and it was...
Have you started the briefly bit yet, or are you just still leading into this?
Yeah, in a moment, briefly. In 2018, he took over from Bryson Goodwin. His success rate that year was 75%. 2019, 80%. 2020, 82%. 21.84, 22.85%, 23.86%, and this year his current success rate is 93%.
Oh, wow.
That's a good start, isn't it? Yeah.
Just to flag something early, Mark Snead this year is 19 for none. So 19 successful kicks from the start of the season.
Right, very good. I mean, we just, you know, it's not what Harry Bath is having to kick with, is it? I think we brought this on the pod ages ago. Like, he's kicking a wet leather ball. These things just ping and off they go. So it's a bit different. Be good if you could do an equation, Sam, bringing in a caveat of the weight and density and trajectory of the ball into the kickers, could you then work out who the best kicker has been? Because I think
of Steve, all time.
Well, no, I just think Steve Hesford would kick a lot of them for fun with his eyes shut, as would Jonathan Davis. That ball is continually to develop and get easier to kick. And you go,
yeah,
and
I can do
and
that, and I'll use some of Dennis's trick points. So we'll do a bit of trigonometry there. Ooh, Dennis, sine, cosine, well tangent, and all that type of stuff.
If these trig points that you're doing, Dennis, if you had to kick a rugby league ball from one trig point to the other, how many kicks do you think you could do it in?
That's a good idea. Actually, I'll write that down. I might have a go at that.
Oh, fucking hell.
Took me about 6 years to record. About 3 hours long it'll be.
Could you just do little grubber kicks? I'm a bit worried if you put your foot behind it where it's going. That's all.
Yeah, that's true. Just another thing on the London game. I noticed a commentator pronounced Josh Thewlis, Joss Thewlis.
I thought he was more Josh Soulis. I thought he had him there. I kept playing it back. There was no TH in there, though, whatever happened. It was so far away from it.
We'll add it to the bank, though, I think, on that one. And the other highlight, just to mention a couple of highlights, I thought Dufty's pass in the second try was excellent. He sort of delayed it and threaded it through some players. Have you done the stats yet? Are you going to have a look at the stats?
I can look at the stats. Tackles was led by... I mean, hardly had to do anything. Tackles was led by Powell, 28. Hayes on 24. Philbin, 23. It was a nice even keel across the whole pack. Meters, Dufty, 240. Vaughan, 212. King again, over 100 with 140. He really is coming off the line well, King, isn't he? He makes a lot of meters for us going forward off that line. Bullock... He came back, 135. Harrison, 132. I mean, it was again, just we had, even Hayes ran for 100 metres. So Philbin down on 99. What are we thinking of Philbin in the second round? Oh, Dennis is scrunching up his face.
He's the weakest, isn't it? I mean, Sam sent us a thing of a he's just phrased a new term called the packing order, based on the pecking order of our props. And in that packing order, I would have Philbin at the bottom at the moment from our pack. What do you think?
Yeah. So not just 99 metres. I think there was a couple of drop balls. He's not the player he was. But, you know, I don't want to run into brick walls. And he's a pretty small lad. He's been, you know, very brave for a long time. At some point, catches up with you, doesn't it? Take your eye off the ball. And that's what I think he does a bit now. So
the other into them stats. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, you go mate. No. Well, I was just going to say about the Wolves completion rate and the Super League website and how shithouse it is, because they had the Wolves completion rate down as 99%.
Excellent. Yeah.
They had Hull's completion rate over 100%. So, or was it Hull KR? One. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Where does someone not look at that and go, I think that might be wrong? Click enter, put it out there. Yeah, bizarre.
Is that consistent across all the games that we're getting these spurious bloody?
I presume so, Dennis. Don't put them out there if you don't know what you're doing. Ridiculous. During the commentary, I don't know if you could make it out through the very strong Leeds accent, but at one point he did say London buses. You wait for one, and then all of a sudden two come along at once. That was, I think, for one of the tries. Which brings me on to this week's quiz.
Oh, shit. You know what? I've actually got all the hot water bottle information on my iPad ready to go. I was trying to second guess what the quiz was going to be.
You know what it's going to be, Dennis? It's going to be all about summer holiday.
It's all about him again. London buses. Okay, we got 6 questions this week, boys. Now, Dennis currently leads the quiz at 2-0, Sam. So come on, you need to up your game here.
Yes. Okay.
Question one. You'll like this one, Sam. Based on the average yearly wage of a London bus driver, how many bus drivers would make up the Super League salary cap? Now, this is a podcast, but at the moment, Sam has got his calculator out. Dennis is writing something down. They're both... Dennis with a 2-0 lead. He definitely wants to hang on to this now and go 3-0 up in the quiz. I'm going to have to hurry.
Play that. like snooker applause. When
30.
30? Dennis. Seeing he pissed on your fireworks on the stats last week, I'll let you go higher or lower than 30.
Yeah. Lower.
The salary cap is 2.1 million. The average bus driver in London only earns £30,000. 70 bus drivers. 70 wow. bus drivers.
That's not a lot of money, is it?
It's not allowing for your marquee bus driver who's probably doing Leicester Square to Covent Garden or something. You know, we're talking on the outer edges. Okay, question two. This one's for you, Sam. You'll get this one. 1-0 to... Oh, no, 1-0 to you, Sam. 1-0 to you. Can you tell me, when travelling from the London Broncos Red Record Stadium to Buckingham Palace, which would get there first? A. A London bus, or B, Matty Ashton at top speed? Dennis, you're up first.
Oh, I'm up first.
Just
London
two in the
course.
Sam?
No, I'm going Matty Ashton at top speed, surely about 20 mile an hour.
The average speed of a London bus travelling across the capital in 2023 was 9.3 miles per hour. Matty Ashton was clocked in round two of the 2023 Super League at 22.41 miles an hour. Therefore, it would be Matty Ashton. For a bonus point, Sam, how long would it take the bus, based on that calculation, and how long would it take Matty Ashton?
Bloody hell. They travel at 9 miles an hour, and it's probably about 14 miles. And an hour and a half it'd take the bus, and it'd take Matty Ashton 3/4 of an hour.
It's 6.3 miles between the stadium and Buckingham
Palace.
Oh,
is that
Palace.
All it is?
That's all it is, yeah. I mean, this is probably as the crow flies, but the bus would take 40 minutes. Matty Ashton would take 17 minutes. He'd be 23 minutes quicker. So are you still awake, Dennis? Still awake?
Yeah.
Question three. Which Radio 1 DJ once worked as a bus conductor?
Tony Blackburn.
Oh, good guess. Good guess, Sam. Dennis? He's got his head in his hands.
Peter Powell.
It was Dave Lee Travis. I couldn't believe this when I looked it up. But he didn't work in London. He worked in Buxton, Derbyshire, where he was born. He was a bus conductor. So, there you go. Of course, the most famous bus conductor was Reg Varney from On the Buses. Even though Varney was born in London, which rugby league team was he passionate about and once tried to buy the club when faced with financial difficulties?
Dennis's first go, or...?
Fulham, a team in London. They are rugby league team.
Good guess. Yeah, keeping it in the capital, right, like what you did there, Dennis. Yeah, shit.
But you did say, although he was from London, he was interested in rugby league, so... Mm. Salford.
It was Hull KR. So, there you go. Okay, the old joke goes, how many elephants can you fit in a mini? Two in the front, two in the back. But can you tell me how many Leon Hayes's you could fit in a London bus?
How have you worked this out, Mr. London?
I've been given the cubic capacity of a London bus, and right, having worked in the logistics industry for 25 years, I know the cubic capacity of a Leon Hayes based on what box I could fit him in. I'll give it in cubic feet if you want, whichever you want.
No, I like it. I just want to know what I'm dealing with. I'm just trying to think. So you're using a box rather than just actually a human being able to...
Yeah, I had to square him up a little bit. I had to put him in a packing box.
All right, so I think of coffins.
What are you laying him out flat for? Scrunch him up. Scrunch him up.
I'm getting an idea of the box now.
$812. Ooh, I tell you what. Is that with the doors shut or are they still partially open? You're cramming them in. How tight are you doing that?
Yeah, I'm including the driver's seat.
Okay, all right. Would there be enough room for them all to breathe? How many are we losing? during the drive.
They're all in a bloody box. They can't bloody breathe anyway, so what does it matter? Sam? Well, Sam.
Oh, higher, about 1,100. So higher, one higher, 813. Oh,
he said 1,100.
Dennis wins. A bus, the airspace on a bus is 110 cubic metres. Leon Hayes is 0.22 cubic metres. You could fit exactly 500 Leon Hayes in a bus.
Just a minute. Was it a single decker or a double decker?
It's a London bus. They're all double deckers, aren't they? Mm.
I thought a double decker might be 1,000.
All right. Okay. Got you. Yeah. Okay. And the last one. This is a good one. I think you're winning this one again, Dennis. But according to figures,
he's not. He's 2-1 to me. I've been keeping score.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, this is a big question. Big question. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. GC. According to figures obtained by the Press Association, in 2018, how many people shat themselves on a London bus?
Sam, go on. You go first this time.
You always have to come round to this, don't you?
The worrying thing about this is only the people that have put their hand up and admitted it. Because I'm thinking, like, if I've shat myself on a London bus, I'm getting off. I'm not suddenly putting my hand up and becoming a stat.
I think Dennis was right early. Let's say 812.
Shat. 812. You've really underestimated the London public.
Excellent. More. Higher.
14,632 people. The most was in July, when nearly 2,000 travellers shat themselves on a London bus during the knockout stages of England's World Cup run.
Jesus.
On to round 5 results. Salford 12, Wigan 22, Leeds 8, St Helens 18, Huddersfield 12, Hull KR 24, Hull 4, Lee 54. Tony Smith said, "It was a tough day at the office, a poor performance for our team." And finally, Catalans 40, Castleford 14. Now, the new draft that I've sent you boys includes an interactive now where you can click on my script.
Yes,
and it takes you directly to the highlights. Do you like that? It's quite good, isn't it?
Very impressive.
Any of them. You can't print it off and then click on it, Dennis. You have to do it when it's on your screen.
Oh, yeah.
That's
good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Excellent.
Big smile on his face. Yeah.
Wow.
It's really good.
I'm looking at it. It's just come up now. I'm watching the highlights.
There you go. You see?
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
How many weeks before one of those links isn't what it's supposed to be? How long
did
you give me?
I'm not doing it anymore. That's it. I enjoyed it while it lasted.
The table looks like this. London are on bottom, no points. Castleford, no points. Hull have 2 points, but they only got those 2 points against London. Lee on 2, Huddersfield on 4, Salford, Leeds, Hull KR all on 6. Catalans, Saints, Wigan and out on top, Warrington, all on 8 points. The caveat being, Wigan have a game in hand, as too do Lee. A good start, Sam. A good start, but some would say we've not played the hardest of teams.
No. And we're actually discussing this on the way home from London. I feel that the start has been better than I expected in terms of performance. But with possibly the exception of the win at Hull KR, the results have been as expected. I expected us to lose at Catalan Dragons. I actually expected a narrow defeat at Hull KR, and we got a narrow win. But I just feel the manner of the performance has been a little more than expected.
I mean, I think if you put Daryl's team out there last year, we're on exactly the same amount of points, probably.
Yes.
Hook or by crook. What I do like is Burgess's composure. I'm not finding I'm clashing with him at all in his post-match press conferences. You know, like we've had Smith and Price and Powell, and you'd sort of come away shaking your head some of the things they said. But this guy, he seems to know the game inside and out. He's very composed.
You're
and also
really warming to him, aren't you? You're really warming to him now.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, Bruce Wrench, I possibly wouldn't be. But yeah, they look like they're playing for him. They look like they've brought in a younger coach who can identify with his players more.
Yeah. And I think one thing that stood out to me is, even though we've played a poor Castleford, a poor Hull and a poor London, he's played some younger players to fill in gaps rather than moving the whole team around. He's not been afraid to play Lindop, Hayes, Holroyd, Max Wood.
Yeah,
he's been prepared to give them a go.
And he's moved players around. He's put Curry at 13. You know, he's clearly thought, come on, Curry, you need to do a bit more work. And he's stuck him in the middle of the pack. Mm. What are you thinking, Dennis? I mean, you can't read too much into the results, but can you read between the lines?
Ooh, well, I've mentioned a couple of times, and there's definitely this running deep in attack. And I think he has definitely brought that into this, you know, the attacking sort of side of it. And the defence, you can't, you know, it speaks for itself. I can't remember how many points are conceded now, but, you know, we're at the top of the league because of points difference. So the defence is significantly different. And I agree. I think he's doing all the things that seems to be that, you know, most of the fans, for it, I don't know, for whatever reason, but, you know, us sitting on the sidelines see things, and when coaches try to force players in not in the right position, this, that and the other, he's just using simple logic and forcing the performance out of those people who are stepping up, and it works. So yeah, I think he's made an impression.
I think there's a couple of teams in that league positions that could easily be on top if they'd had our fixtures. I think Lee could be on top if they'd had our fixtures. I also think Leeds would be on top if they'd had our fixtures. So, got a bit to go yet.
I think that's fair comment.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Onto the news, and Gil Dudson has been sent out on loan to Salford for the remainder of the year. Having joined Wire in 2023, he missed the start of the season through injury. In round 8, Wire headed to the south of France, where Dudson was sent off, raising a childish smile as he walked from the field. He was subsequently banned, missing a further 5 games. Having made little impact in his time at Warrington, there'll be very few fans disappointed to see him go. He played very well for Salford. Made over 100 metres. So, did he need another 10 games? Was that where we went wrong?
No, I don't think he did. That was one of the nights I borrowed your fee to watch that Wigan-Salford where he played that game.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't think he made many yards. I don't, you know, he still looked, pretty ordinary. It's not worth thinking about, is it? Is it worth thinking about? Why are we talking about it?
No, I'm amazed that he was so far up the packing order to start.
Packing order,
but he was given a chance and it didn't work for him.
So should we perhaps compare him over the coming weeks and his stats to Philbin's and see where the two lie?
When you say we, Sam, do you mean you?
Yes, I do mean me.
So are you mentioning, have you got that about Max Wood? Is it been?
Yeah, staying on the loaning front, young prop Max Wood has been loaned to Bradford Bulls for 2 weeks. I don't mind this. People keep kicking off about it. But if you're not going to play, there's no point just sitting in the stand every week. So get him out there, you know. And that's a tough competition. So he'll do it tough over there. There won't be likes of Vaughan around him to help him out. He's got to do it himself. So I like it. Are we short, Sam, on the packing order, sending Max Wood out, or clearly not?
No. Not now that everyone's come back fit and he clearly has decided Bullock is going to stay around, because we've got Vaughan, Musgrove, Harrison, Philbin, Bullock, there's five all fit, and and probably
that is the official Sam's packing list. Actually, I'm just checking that, and you did it perfectly there, Sam. That is the official packing list. I would question whether Bullock and Philbin should be the other way around. But
yes, possibly.
Fullback Matt Dufty has signed a new contract to remain with Warrington until 2026. The 28-year-old has started the season well. Burgess said, he's got so much more in him. I dare say he's in the best form in the competition after five rounds. Big call, but definitely, you know, boosting his ego.
We've got no negatives this week, have we? It's all been really positive.
I've got a slight negative about Sam's long-winded story about what he ate down in London. I mean, come on.
That's only because you've got to spend 3 hours in the edit. I mean, but, you know, in regards to the rugby side of it, I mean, it's very unusual. When was the last time we actually sat around here talking about such positivity? Was it Daryl after 8-9 games?
No, when we did the pod when Tony Barrow was in charge. What year was that when we did that?
What year?
Couldn't get that out, that pod, because on that DOS-based system, it took me for hours to edit that one on the ZX Spectrum. Mm. But anyway, they were the days. Mm. South Sydney coach, how do I say his surname, Sam? Jason
Demetrio. That's how we said it when he was over here.
I always want to call him Delamitri when I see it. South Sydney coach Delamitri, career could be on the line as he looks to turn around the Bunnies' nightmare start to the season. The Sydney Herald newspaper went as far as to suggest Delamitri will face the sack should South fail to register a win in their next three-game stretch. Delamitri, however, does have one very important backer in his corner, South's co-owner Russell Crowe. According to the Sydney Daily Telegraph, Crowe sent a message to the Rabbitohs' top brass to remind them that things can change very quickly in rugby league. Keep seeing little pictures, little bits. There was a couple of something on Fox News about, was Burgess right? Because they've got this problem, haven't they, with a few players there that are bigger than the club, and Burgess kicked off about it, and he's been proven right. These players are out of control, and they're clearly not playing for him. They've got a Daryl Powell on their hands there. It's only a matter of time. And this next three match run, I think they've got Melbourne, Penrith. They've got Shockers. Like, there's nothing coming in the next three games.
And I think this is going to be the trigger point, isn't it? Is that if South Sydney are not going to perform in that next three games, then this is going to be the time. Where is it going to happen? Are they going to call him back? What would he do, Rob? What do you think? In that position, the opportunity to take an NRL job, or do you play the long game thinking, well, you know, let's do me time at Warrington for 2 years and then do it? Or if it was offered now, would you go?
I don't know. Like, who sort of was in charge of whom at the time of when this contract was put together? You know, did Burgess have enough weight behind him to put a little... some kind of clause in his contract to say he could go home, you know, if things went well and someone was approached with NRL? Or was he sort of down on one knee pleading to Simon Moran at the time, Sam? I mean, it's all very well saying in 12 months' time he goes back to the NRL if things don't work out and he's going well at Warrington, but there's money involved, Sam. There's money involved.
Correct. I feel if South did sack him in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I feel it'd probably be too early for them to turn to Burgess.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel, however, if they both see out the remainder of this season, and at the end of the season Souths want to make a change, and Sam Burgess has got us into, say, fourth, playing reasonable rugby and losing in the semis, then they might look at him with a year behind him. You don't know. But I feel if it happened now, I don't see that they'd be looking at Sam Burgess. I hope not.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. And finally, in the Challenge Cup game between Leeds and Saints, so the Rhinos' Tom Holroyd sent to the sin bin in the 58th minute. Embarrassingly, referee Chris Kendall, Tom Holroyd had left the field before he was able to prize his yellow card from his polyester pants. What needs to happen here? I mean, you're our craft expert, Dennis. What do they need to do? Is it the configuration of the pants? Is it the card? What do you suggest?
There's various explanations around this. Now, if we went right back to Tackle Bag's idea number 16, I think it was around 3 or 4 years ago, we actually came up with a flashing red shirt for the referee.
So it was basically,
you know, it was activated in conjunction with the video referee, and you get that material where it flashes, and it's obvious, it's just flashes Brilliant. Red or yellow and stuff.
All round the world, publicity for the game, outstanding, Dennis, outstanding.
I mean, we have to resurrect old ideas to remind people that we've done all this. We've come up with every possibility to improve the game. Other than that, it's just a pair of scissors to take the fucking corners off, innit?
So I would cut, I'd go anti-clockwise, I'd hold the card in my left hand, and I'd cut, that. I'd bring the, so that with the card
away
facing out,
away from your face.
Away from your face. We should point out at this point, if anyone's going to try this at home, you know, ask permission from your parents before you cut things. That includes Super League referees. Probably use blunt scissors if you're a Super League referee. Wouldn't want to do that.
With a guard on it.
On to the London review of the fucking hell, London again. Gee, it's just London, London, London.
Oh, I thought we'd done it.
No, we're doing London again.
I did actually make the suggestion for the listener. I did say to Mr. London, can we just concurrently run one timeline? 10-minute intervals, and we'll just talk about
it. I was still waiting for the draft from you. I thought you were going to send that through.
I was busy with the Burgess effect. It was a good opening to the episode tonight, wasn't it?
Yes, it's very good.
So every time we play something from Mr. Burgess talking, we should put the end bit in, because it is 24, that music. Hopefully everyone's paying attention that it's 24-month contract and we use 24. But we'll play that, and he did say 10 games. Can you believe Sam Burgess said, give me 10 games?
I know.
Resonated round the
world. I was a little bit annoyed about the little sound clip you put in where he was clearly on a different mic. Yeah, that was quite... I did go looking for it, see if I could find a better one. Although it was better than Sam, I'm talking about his technology. He did send through a sound clip this week as well. It had something to do with a donut. Did you hear that? He sent that through.
Oh, yes. I know.
Fortunately, I put it into GarageBand, and GarageBand was like, this is not a bit good enough quality. I think he'd put his phone next to the radio. I'm not sure what he'd done, but it was... But it's you're really trying, Sam. Good on you. I'm really impressed. What has happened on your technical front? Is it because you've been down to see your boy? Is that what happened? Did he say, come here, give us the phone, I'll show you something?
No, he refuses. What? He refuses. A bit like when my mum phones me and says, I've got a problem with my Sky, what do I do? I think when I say to my lad, can you just show me how? He just thinks, oh, God, old people.
I think it's to do with Mr. Sankey being on his own for all that time when Mrs. Sankey was away. He's getting all his firewalls prepared and, you know, making sure security's up to date. He knows how to quickly get off it in an emergency if she walks in.
All those things. The team at the Challenge Cup was Dufty Thulis. Roderick Ty came in. King Ashton, Ratchford Hayes, Harrison, Walker, Vaughan, Holroyd, Philbin and Crowther. Interchange bench was Nicholson, Musgrove, Powell and not used, Joe Bullock, which we'll come on to in a second. Final score, Warrington 42, London 0. There were 3 tries for Ashton, 2 for Thulis, Crowther, Ty, King, Nicholson all scored. Goals, Ratchford only 3. You didn't go, Sam?
No.
We did have Chris London there. My brother went. And he, I don't know how we say this one. We've been saying the packing order. I'm not sure how you phrase the centre order. But he thinks possibly Ty will be above Wrench in the centre order from what he saw.
Yes, and I've got a direct quote from Simon, who I usually go with. I messaged him and said, tell me in your own words, what did you think of Roderick Ty? And his words were, I was very pleased with him. Couple of big tackles, looked good positionally, and a strong finish to score his tries. Also, good hands a couple of times to Thulis.
Good. Well, this is what Sam Burgess had to say on Ty and Nicholson coming back into the team.
Yeah, no, I was happy with both Matty and Rhoda. Rhoda was probably a week underdone. We weren't planning on playing him this week, but we just felt it probably the best time to see what he could bring. So I was happy he got over and scored some points. The boys really love what he brings, so he's a great bloke to have around. And Matty Nick is very consistent himself, so good to see him back on the field. It's been a long couple of months for Matty Nick. It's a pretty frustrating injury, so happy he's come through it.
Now, the thing I want to pick up on there is what he called Roderick Ty, because he called Roderick Ty Rhoda. He didn't. Now, Rhoda was one of my favourite all-time sitcoms. I don't know if you remember Rhoda. It was an American sitcom between 1974 and 1979. It was Rhoda was played by Valerie Harper. Rhoda aired on BBC Two. You remember, it was on before MASH. The Radio Times described Rhoda as a spunky and flamboyantly fashioned young woman, seen as unconventional by the standards of her Jewish family from New York City.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
It was great. And my old man used to go to the pub on a Wednesday night, and Mum used to let me stay up. And I think most of my femininity comes from Rhoda, because it was it was quite a masculine household. But Mum and I would really sort of bond on a Wednesday night.
The funniest thing about that is your dad going to a pub on a Wednesday. What a load of bollocks.
Every Wednesday without fail. Every Wednesday without fail. They go to some Cheshire pub and play darts. They were the day.
How would you rate Roderick Ty? What would you say?
Rhoda, I liked episode 4 when the mother-in-law comes to stay.
How would you rate Roderick Ty? What would you sort of say there? Do you want me to press stop?
Burgess said on Bullock, Joe was sick before the game. He needed a hot water bottle on the sideline. Now, I'm not sure about hot water bottles.
I've been looking forward to this. So we should really, we need a jingle for this, because I've been looking forward to this for about 3 days since he sent it through. So come on, build it up. Put some big music behind it.
Study sample, Swansea Hospital, 2023. Patients admitted with hot water bottle burns. The most was in December to February. 48 people admitted to Swansea Hospital with hot water bottle burns. September to...
Where?
Well, we'll come on to that.
Oh, right.
September and November 24, March to May 10. Only three between June and August. Why are you using a hot water bottle in between June and August?
It's those South Wales cold summers.
Now, we've got a heat map of where the burns took place. If you want to describe that to us, Dennis, most of it seems to have happened around the bullocks, from what I can see.
I was going to say, let me just bring that up there. So, let's have a look. Oh, yeah, okay. So, interestingly enough, the dark red is very much surrounding the groin area, and there's a lighter aspect on
the penis or the vagina.
So I found that interesting, because what have they done there with the hot water bottle?
They've put it to the side of their balls, haven't they? They've put it. They've not. You wouldn't put the hot water bottle on your cock, would you? If you're cold, the last place you're sticking it is on your genitals, but you are sticking it on your thigh to the side as you twist in bed.
Yeah, but you can't help it. It must get in the way. And I mean, depending on how well endowed you are, I suppose, in terms of that respect. But, I mean, you can't avoid it. I don't know where they've got the hot water bottle. Is it just the natural reaction of like, you know, where it's exposed and so on? What do you think? I would have thought there would be more on the bottom. On the buttocks.
Well, there's quite a few. If you look at the heat map there, there's quite a few on the right buttock. Mm. Someone's had it right embedded into the right buttock there. But and shoulder. Who puts a hot? Oh, do you think the hot water bottle on the shoulder's more for an injury? It's not necessarily for. Yeah,
possibly. That's what that would be. We are definitely going to publish the make it an interactive podcast by publishing this, aren't we? Are we going to use this?
We'll put it out there. We also break it down. This is sort of post contact meters on a hot water bottle. 18.8% was from contact with the hot water bottle. 33% from a spillage, but leading the way a burst. 48.2% with a burst.
And it's the burst area which is around the groin, isn't it? So maybe it's settled.
You've just leaned. Oh, I didn't realise that was in relation to the. Oh yeah. So you've put it right on your gonads and you've leant over and it burst. Yeah. Ooh, imagine the water there.
Yeah.
Spillage. Where's the spillage? Is more on the calves and the arms. Mm. Is that as you're putting the top on? I did look at the stats also on. I mean, hot water bottles are not used that much in the UK because of central heating, but Australia has such appalling insulation of homes that the country that buys more hot water bottles anywhere in the world is Australia. 500,000 really? Hot water bottles are sold a year in Australia. So,
India rubber as well. It's a special India plastic special thing. You have to use
Sam,
that one.
Sam, anything on the stats? You're our statistician. You've got all the figures there. What did you say?
I just think this is Sony award-winning content. This is. Thank you. Sony award-winning this.
Challenge Cup round 6 results. Hull KR 40, Salford 0. Leeds 6, Saints 20. Wigan 44, Sheffield 18. Uddersfield 50, Hull 6. Lee 26, Featherstone 14, Batley 14, Castleford 28, and Halifax 4, Catalans 40. It leaves the Challenge Cup quarterfinal draw like this: Hull KR versus Lee Leopards, Catalan Dragons versus Huddersfield, Castleford versus Wigan, and the big one, St Helens versus the Warrington Wolves. Fixtures to be played on the weekend of the 13th and 14th of April, with Wires game chosen as the Sunday match on the BBC. Now, this is the end of the good fixture run by the looks of it, Sam. Mm. It's not London, it's not Hull, it's Saints away. I mean, I've watched them play a little bit at Leeds. They battered Leeds a few times at Headingley recently. As good as Leeds have been, I've been quite impressed with Leeds. But Saints are just a different level.
It's going to be a different level, isn't it? It's going to be a different level. In fact, I know we're just focusing on the Challenge Cup, but these next three games are a definite step up for us, and to play potentially two of our harder Super League games, then go into a game against Saints, we'll see what they're really made of, won't we?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Welcome to part 5 of my A to Z of the first 20 years of the Halliwell Jones Stadium. M is for Men of Steel. We're now into the 29th season of Super League, and we're still waiting for a Wire player to win the Man of Steel award. However, we have had a few join the club on the back of winning the most illustrious individual accolade in the Northern Hemisphere. Brett Hodgson won the 2009 award with Huddersfield and joined Wire ahead of the 2011 campaign. For 3 seasons, Hodgson was a mainstay at fullback and is a certainty to be the best we've had there in the Super League era. Fabulous with the ball in hand, he crossed for 38 tries in 75 appearances, as well as being a metronome of consistency with the kicking tee. A bizarre end to his Wire career, as an apparent falling out with Tony Smith meant he didn't feature in the 2013 Grand Final. Daryl Clark made the move from Castleford to Warrington on the back of the Man of Steel award in 2014 and nailed down the number 9 position of the HJ for 9 seasons. A phenomenal defender and a dummy half runner with an unbelievable engine, Clark is one of the best we've seen and now plies his trade at St Helens. N is for Nild. The darkest of all dark days. The 2021 season saw Wire finish 3rd, but come into the playoffs in great form and as somewhat of a dark horse. When Wigan were beaten the previous evening, a route to the grand final looked not just possible, but likely. Hysterically then, a depleted Hulk AR turned up to the HJ and blew Wire away, winning 19-0. Steve Price's final game in charge ended with boos ringing out on the terraces. O. O is for 112. The 20th of May 2011 was a special one for anyone at the Halliwell Jones as Wire obliterated Swinton Lions 112-0 in the Challenge Cup for the club's biggest ever victory. Leah Breers notched up 44 points alone with a hat-trick of tries and 16 goals. It's hard to imagine that this record will ever be broken. Will Wire ever have such a perfect blend of ridiculous attacking firepower and see it come up against a semi-pro opposition? See you next time for part 6.
Okay, there's Daniel. M is for Man of Steel. N is for Nild. And O is for 112.
Got a few questions from this. So the Man of Steel, Hodgson. The best fullback for Warrington, do you think? Is that a fair thing to say? What do you think?
You mean in the Super League era?
Yeah, Halliwell. Yeah, maybe. He's doing the Halliwell Jones, isn't he? He's doing the last 20 years of Halliwell Jones. So, yep. I would agree with him, Him and Breers linking into the line. Almost unstoppable at times. So, yeah. And again,
very
that ego,
lightweight.
The fallout. We really did lose a Super League final because of the fallout. Him and Smith not seeing eye to eye. Yeah. That was a shame.
The other thing he touched on was that Swinton win, 112. Now, that's a result of playing the Challenge Cup where it's completely open and you play anybody in the league in its whole entirety. Do you think we should bring that back, or do you like the format of the Challenge Cup as it is now where, you know, the different leagues get introduced later rounds?
No, you've got to bring the magic back. Get them in right at the start when Crossfield's under 11s are in there. That's what I want to see. I want to see. That'd be fun.
Well, I had this conversation because it was a case of, like, you know, you don't get the upset. I mean, the upset might only come along every 6 years, but you don't get that upset anymore, do you? You know, where somebody's playing
on
a dog shit park or sort of.
Are they,
you know, in the back end,
when are the big boys coming into the FA Cup, Sam? Do they come in later than they used to do as well?
No, they come in at the sixth round just after Christmas.
So they've kept it the same?
They've kept it the same. They have, on occasional years, given the four Champions League teams, or if a team is playing in the World Club Challenge, they've sort of given them a bye. But they still come in at the same round. And I think you only have to look at the crowds. Even look at, I'm a case in point. I went out with Mrs. Sankey on Saturday. Mm. It was pre-planned before the draw was made that we were going to Liverpool. Mm. I could have got back home in time for kickoff, but I thought, I'm out with the boss. I'll stay out and not rush back.
Is this another long journey, Sam? Are we going to be sat here for another five minutes with this one?
He sent through a picture of him buying the new car. And I zoomed in on a building in the background. He bought it in Liverpool. He went to Liverpool to buy this car.
Yes.
I could pinpoint it to the exact position where he bought that car.
You've been playing that game again.
Yes. Geo Wizard. I thought, I can get this on pretty quickly. I got it within about a minute. I've got it really quickly.
You should link it to him. He's got quite a few followers, and, you know, we might pick up a couple of people who'd be interested in hot water bottles. Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to say as well is that, you know, it was such a big win. How would you get a big win nowadays? Thinking ahead to 2025, how many players would you think that would need to be sent off before the straw that broke the camel's back and it just became a complete waste of time? You know, because we're tackling under the armpits. So we've sent three off. Is it three, four, five? What do you think?
Well, I think the game I went to when Wigan played Warrington that time, I think we got down to 9 a side or something ridiculous. And it was still no one was scoring. So,
I think it depends whether you're playing Hull or not. If you're playing Hull and they lose one player, then you're scoring 100 anyway, aren't you?
Maybe the last 20 minutes of the Challenge Cup, a player should leave the field every minute. You end up with just two players on the field for the last 5 minutes.
Extra time?
Who would we leave on if we had just one player on the
Countdown.
Field? If it was a one-on-one, we'd leave on Ashton, wouldn't we? Ashton
probably.
Would be who you'd leave on.
Yeah.
But they'd leave on. Like Wigan would leave on that fullback or Bevan French. Mm. Yeah.
Is this a whole new section next week?
Yes.
Are we going to do the count back?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I've got an alternative MNNO, if you want to hear my alternative MNNO.
Yeah.
Surely M is for the M62.
That's not that's not the Halliwell Jones Stadium, though, is it?
Well, I go back longer than the Halliwell Jones. I probably go back longer than before the M62 was built, if I'm honest. How many miles do you think the M62
136.
is?
136.
I've got 107. Also,
I think it's 106.5.
It's the highest motorway in England. It rises to 1,220 feet. There you go.
Who's going to say about that that cottage in the middle of it?
No, not mentioning that cottage in the middle of the motorway that goes either side. Let's not mention that. N is for night matches, especially the BBC Floodlit Trophy. I think that's got to be the winner, hasn't it, on that one? Do you remember that one? Played between 1965 and 1979. Warrington made the final just the once in 1974. The final was at the Willows between Salford and Warrington. The final score was Salford 0, Warrington 0.
Oh, excellent. I'd love a game like that. That's just right up my alley.
That's Italian rugby league, isn't it? If the Italians ever start playing rugby league, that'll be the way it is. We lost the replay at Wilderspool 10-5.
Excellent.
And O is for the O in Spartomatic, I think, is what you got to look for. I've been saying Spartomatic, and we've had quite a few letters of complaint.
Have we?
Yeah.
Have you got any of the letters with you?
It was last year. But Spartomatic. They were Warrington's first ever sponsor in 1983. So, my little boy's coming. Hi, mate. How are you going? Want your pancakes? I'll just finish with these two plebs and then I'll be in. All right, look, not long. Sorry. You didn't catch that. I turned my mic off there, didn't I?
Why can't he make pancakes on his own? Why is he not doing that? He should be out now earning money making pancakes on their corner.
He's tired. He had to go to his private tutor yesterday. He had aerial yoga. He's got aerial yoga today.
Aerial yoga?
Yeah, he does aerial yoga once a week. Yeah. Do you not do that in Orford? When you were growing up, Dennis.
I don't recall aerial yoga.
When you feel alone, and you lend your ear, come over here, and man, here's what you do. If you got the blues, I got some news. Join in the fun, and your blues ain't you.
It's Madam Boyd here, your trusted Primrose and Blue Coat. Can I remind everybody that at 1 p.m. today, our very own camp naturopath Professor Stappen Broomheads will be holding free consultations in the canteen. You can also catch up with them at 2 p.m. in the bakery. 3 p.m. hanging out in the pizzeria. 4 p.m. next to the ice cream kiosk. 5 p.m. in the fish and chip shop. 6 p.m. in the kebab house. And 7 p.m. for the barbecue. And between 7:30 p.m. until closing time at the bar. Hi there, hi. No, Daryl. I don't think you could play that instrument with your head, dear.
Oh, Samuel. What on earth is that smell? The air's fresher around the Latchford tanning factory than this.
I know. It's the bins, Walter. They've not been collected again.
Good heavens sake, Summer. If the council don't shift them soon, we'll have a vermin infestation.
I know. I saw a dirty rat this morning.
Oh, no, Samuel. That's just young Mr. Westerman. Yes, he's in the cheaper half boardrooms, you know, round the back of the bakery. I think he's scraping the bottom of a dirty barrel.
Shall I get the players to strip out of their primrose coats, Ralphie, and all muck in and take a trip to the tip?
Oh, what an excellent idea, Sam. Although make sure you don't drop off Josh Dishwater. He's already been recycled to no use at 28 clubs.
We could always fire up the incinerator.
Unfortunately, it's full to the brim with Fitzpatrick's failed marketing ideas. Yes, there's enough bullshit material to burn in there to match the energy from a nuclear reactor.
I wonder if Stuart Middleton regrets that he employed him.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Perhaps if we cut down on useless fatty meat that only slows everyone down in their metabolism, we could save on garbage.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about the bin strike or Mr. Dudson?
There's always a bottle bank, Ralphie. Although, the amount of times this lot have bottled it again since, in Super League, there'll be broken glass everywhere.
Oh, tackle sacks. Well, not to worry. This looks like a perfect opportunity for me to apply my OBE rimming master plan. Dispose of it all at the Lee Centurions. I'm sure another 300 tonnes of landfill shit will make little difference there. Although, make sure Josh Charnley doesn't catch you dumping it on the pitch. He loves his super grass.
I was reminded here, I thought there was a strong finish. I thought there was a strong finish with Supergrass. But I decided to go with the old music hall type of question and respond. What do you think of it so far? Rubbish! Anyways... One,
how are you
going to
be
question?
With next year's narrative when I do
Rhoda?
That's it. We've left.
How's your New York accent, Dennis? Can you do a Ralph Rimmer in a New York accent? Can you try?
I don't know. I'll have to have a go with that.
Come on. Give us. Come on. We're ready. Come on. What? This is it.
Oh, well, I'll have to have a Texas. It's Texas
not New York.
State.
Where have you gone? You've gone south.
Oh, yeah, I've gone south. I'll have to work on that.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Wawel is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing tackle bags. No way, tackle vlogs. No hang on, tackle books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Ah, Easter is upon us. Easter, the weekend of rugby league extravaganza, matches all over the weekend, people buying beers, sat in their couches for days on end watching rugby, night till dusk or whatever. Anyway, the point is, in 2025, you won't be watching rugby because we'd be tackling under the armpits. What would you be doing instead? Well, I've been delving around looking at things to do over the Easter weekend. And first up, in Workington, the hotbed of rugby league that never was, they also have a football match like the Royal Shrove Tide in Ashbourne that I covered a couple of weeks ago. Exactly the same sort of format, but they do it on Good Friday, so you might want to get yourself along to that. It caught my eye because in that town, as they play the football match through the village, no rules applied, they said, somebody said, the deaths and serious injuries never stopped it, but a proposed Tesco Extra built in the middle of the town, which is a pitch, briefly put the future of the sport in doubt. So that's something. So Workington Town, I don't know if they've actually built that, because that was in 2010 they put in planning permission there. So anyway, it should be on, so you can go and check that out. The second one, bit controversial, this one's from Devon, and Devon has some very strange things that it's done in the past. This is from a place called Heartland, and it's called Cock Kibbit. And this is basically where a cock, this is the bird variety for all those perverts now who can just turn off, a cock is placed underneath an inverted earthenware pan. And the cudgels, which are the kibbits, which is basically just a stick or something, is thrown at the pan from a fixed distance until it's broken. The cock is then, as it runs off, is chased and becomes the property of the captor and the person who broke the pan. So there you go.
Is this past the RSPCA?
I'm not sure if they do it anymore, because I've been looking for the date. It is done over Easter, or it was traditionally, but I think that might be an issue. You know, throwing something at a cock. You might want to just throw something at Richie Myler instead. and finally, for Easter weekend, World Championship Marbles at Tinsley Green in Sussex. This is started, apparently, in the 17th century by two farmhands who played a game for the hand of a milkmaiden called Joan. Playing marbles. It is, isn't it? The other fact about it, the World Championships in this Tinsley Green, is Laurel and Hardy played there as well. And they entered the competition, so everybody can enter it. So, interesting fact. Just want to move on to some of the technicalities of marbles. The aim is to knock 49 marbles from a marked ring on the floor with your own marble. So there you go. You play in two teams of six. Here's an interesting fact, a terminology. One knuckle must be on the ground at all times when you... And that's where the term, so they say, knuckling down comes from.
Really?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Very good, Dennis. Yeah. Excellent.
They've got a couple of other terms. They've got one, it's called cabbaging, and it's something to do with being outside of the ring. But I especially like this one. For inside of the ring, it's called fudging. So if you want to get yourself down for a bit of fudging down in World Championship Marbles, then there you go. Tinsley Green, Sussex.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Dick Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up, this Easter Saturday at 3 p.m. Wyatt take on Catalans at the Halliwell Jones. Then the following Friday, Warrington venture to Headingley to play the Leeds Rhinos. Kick-off 8 p.m. Before we have a look, here's Wilderspoolina.
Hello, it's Wilderspoolina here. I have the IQ of a planet and the legs of Tanya Arnold. Two games to predict, starting with Warrington versus Catalans. Wyatt will score 54% of the points. And now over the Pennines, and on to Leeds versus Warrington. Wyatt will score 46% of the points. By the way, I've never been to Yorkshire. I'm told it's full of daft people, where the parents give their children blue drinks for tea. See you all soon.
Well, she's predicting Wyatt will score 54% of the points against Catalans, but will score only 46% of the points when they face Leeds. Burgess expects for the Catalans game to have both Curry and Fitzgibbon available. George Williams is a 50-50 chance. Right. Now, starts to get interesting on the predictions, doesn't it? It's not just a case of who will win anymore. Sam, do you want to go first?
Yes, I'm broadly in agreement with Wilderspoolina. I do think a fully fit George Williams could make a difference in both games, but I'm going with Warrington to beat Catalans by the identical score to which we lost to them in round one. So Wyatt to score 61.5%.
Oh, point five. It's gone for a point five. When did we start bringing points into it? That's interesting. No idea.
Okay, 62% then we'll round up.
That's good.
And Warrington to lose in a good game over at Leeds and score 40% of the points.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It's pinched me number.
Well, you better state what you're going to go for then.
I'm going to go Wyatt will score 60% of the points against Catalans, come away with a narrow win. I think the wheels might fall off at Leeds, so I'm going to say Wyatt will score 30% of the points at Leeds.
Well, I think I'm getting a bit confused here. Where's my 50% marker?
I mean, we should say that you are leading, Dennis, significantly in this league ladder at the moment.
Yeah,
you're out in front.
Well, I'm going to surprise you here and say it's going to be 69% for both.
Warrington both times.
Oh,
yeah.
Back to back. Oh no, that's more end to end, is it? Or no?
Well, 69.
Top to tail. Not back to back.
Yeah,
got you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back after the Easter break. Until then, it's a so long from Sam.
All the best.
A goodbye from Dennis.
I'll see you.
And a see you later from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Think we did enough on the hot water bottles, or should we do another 5 minutes?
No, we should do at least another 69%.
Miss something. Why do I own?